Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
First things first today. Andy's out. Andy, be safe out there. Tom Withers in for Andy Baskin.
Thank you. I'll be here for 4 hours.
I'm Jeff Phelps. You will be here for 4 hours. And now let's get the second most important thing out of the way. Well done by all the road crews. I thought it was...
Yeah.
I left real early today. It was, you know, crummy at my house. I checked with, you know, all the social media things. Hey, what's the traffic? Oh, it's terrible. You know, blah, blah, blah. I stayed on side roads almost all the way into Cleveland. They were clear. The highway, when I got on finally, was clear.
Nice.
Well done, everybody.
You know, big improvement over Thursday and Friday were rough, and I know it was a holiday as well, but the over-under on me using my snowblower this winter has already been shot. I think I've used it already as much on December 2nd as I did it all of last winter. It's incredible.
I have a goal every year, and nothing I can control. Okay, first goal is no snow to Thanksgiving. If we have no snow up until Thanksgiving, I think, okay, let's push it to Christmas.
I'm with you.
Sometimes we hit it. This year, shot to you know what.
Yeah, I tell you what, we are so overdue on the west side. It's frightening.
Yeah.
Like we've had like 3 years of...
Pretty reasonable.
Yeah, not even reasonable. It's been nothing. So, yeah, here we go. December 2nd, and we're already digging out.
Well... Sorry about that, Tom.
But good job to the road crews. You're right.
Yeah.
Shout out.
I was really impressed. Well done, gang. So thank you. And we know sometimes you listen to us as you're going down the road and cussing at us because we have thoughts on sports. So thanks. Think about that.
Salt away.
People get mad because we have an opinion on sports.
Oh.
That's what you do here now, Tom, as you're working with us from time to time.
Don't they ever. Let me tell you something.
Tom, the king of the Associated Press.
Oh, boy. I've been ambushed over the last couple of weeks. Every time I go to the Westlake Rec Center, and then there's a very large sauna in the men's dressing room.
When you're half naked, really don't like getting what about sports.
Yeah, no, I usually am pretty fully clothed with a hoodie on when I go in there. But anyway, that said, I walked in there the other day and there were 10 sets of eyeballs that turned to me and immediately ripped into me on everything brown and orange. So, let's talk some sports.
You walked in and you had the same thought in mind that I had in mind and Dan had in mind to get things started today.
Let's go.
And Andy and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. And I think there's a big decision coming down the road, unless it's already been made, about the coaching staff. The head coach of this football team, Kevin Stefanski, and I catch a lot of grief because I think Kevin can coach, and I say Kevin can coach. And then, you know, people call me a moron, and what am I looking at? And I know nothing about football. And
that's blah, when they're
blah,
polite.
Blah, 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 blah. And all that said, I still think the guy can coach. That doesn't mean he's going to survive here.
Agreed.
But I wonder, you know, it goes back, Tom, and I have to have your perspective on this. I think a big chunk of it, not all of it, because things can change. What were the marching orders given to this team at the beginning of the year? Because I think there had to be some, because he was handed a roster that it's like, hey, here you go. Good luck. And I wonder what you think about him, Kevin Stefanski, and where he stands in this whole this whole situation moving forward.
Yeah, I think you made a great point there, Jeff. I think it's all what this season is about is reflective in the roster that he has been handed. The fact that he's got two starting quarterbacks, both rookies, the fact that he's got, you know, rookie.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He's at prominent positions on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, listen, could the writing be on the wall? Potentially, but I think it's in pencil right now. I don't think there's anything that has been decided over there. I'm going to go to my coach speak right now and say, we've got to let this play out. I mean, there's still some football to be played, right?
Yeah.
There's still going to be some peaks and valleys here over the next, is it five games we have left?
That is five games.
So I still think a lot can happen. I will take you back to this summer. And to me, there were almost some telltale signs, Jeff, in what D and Jimmy Haslam said this summer, which was an acknowledgement, once again, much like they did at the winter meetings or the owners' meetings, that the Deshaun Watson decision was a mistake, that they had dug themselves a big hole. They were going to have to figure a way to climb out of it. You know, to me, that almost gives the coach and the general manager to some degree, I'm not going to say a free pass, and clearly there's been some bad football. There's been some bad decisions. There's been some good decisions. There was a really good draft. All that said, going into this year, there were some other signs. The thing that I still can't get my head around, Jeff, and you and I talked about this, I remember a lot this summer, was this quarterback situation. And obviously, it's the one thing that remains the cloud that hangs over this franchise. They shifted so quickly from what I was told that they were going to do in August, which was, essentially, Kenny Pickett is our starter. Joe Flacco will be his backup. Dylan Gabriel will be the emergency quarterback. And this is going to be a redshirt year for Shedeur Sanders. Well, after 4 weeks of the season, that changed pretty dramatically. And actually, it changed before that when Kenny Pickett couldn't stay healthy in training camp. And then you ended up trading him for a fifth-round pick, right?
Which still makes no sense to me, but that's okay.
Yeah, but my point is, Jeff, is that it was just such a shift. And so quickly, I mean, the haste with which they did that was surprising to me. And again, to me, another telltale sign as to maybe what this season was supposed to be about.
Do you think when the when Jimmy Haslam came out and said big swing and a miss at a quarterback, was that an admission?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was a long overdue admission, right? I think we all...
He didn't come right out and say, I insisted on getting Deshaun Watson, but I think it might be as close as an owner comes to that.
Yeah, because I don't think you can go there. Because I do think there was a collaborative effort to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he has final say, so, right?
As Paul DePodesta said.
Yeah.
When he was questioned in his Colorado thing, he's asked about Browns football.
Yeah, that was the Inquisition I wish we could have had here. Right?
I know, but he didn't come in to say hello.
And by the same token, I wish we had had a chance to speak with Andrew Berry during the bye week to ask the question that I just brought up about the shift in the quarterback.
Why did that happen?
Yeah. So again, to me, listen, I think we're trending in the wrong direction if you're Kevin Stefanski, in my opinion, only because it just feels like there is a groundswell and a momentum on that side. But that's not to say that things can't change with a couple of wins. And, oh, by the way.
And moving in the right direction.
And which also, by the way, is to see a young rookie quarterback who's made some strides. Hasn't been great by any means, but he hasn't hurt them either. And I've seen, with each snap, a growing confidence. We can talk a little bit, about what the game plan was this past Sunday. I think in some ways they may have saved him from himself. I don't think you want to have him behind the line as it is currently structured, in the shotgun, winging the ball around the stadium in that kind of wind. I mean, that's going to be a recipe for disaster.
Right.
So, I think I don't necessarily think that Kevin's future is tied into the next 5 weeks and Shador's progress. No, I don't. But I do think if Shador continues to trend in the right direction, that is a positive for Kevin Stefanski.
I know how things work in pro sports. You know how things work. Browns fans know how things work. You don't survive losing seasons consecutively very often in the NFL because, things just change so quickly.
Right.
And I went back and, I knew it in my head. I wanted to see it on paper, and I wanted us to talk about it. And I went back to 99 and thought, okay, who has survived?
The great Chris Palmer years.
Yeah, who has survived 2 years in a row where they didn't do very well? And I must tell you, Tom, I even though I lived it, watched it,
you forgot about it,
covered it, it's stunning how guys didn't survive 2 years. And this is where I think you might have an issue if you're Kevin, because history screams you don't survive this. And Andy and I have made that point numerous times. You don't survive 3 wins followed by 4 or 5 wins. That doesn't happen very often. Chris Palmer was here 2 years. He won 2 and 3 games. He was out, with an expansion team, right? So you thought, well, okay. And then you bring in Butch Davis. When Butch was here,
who was the hot college coach at the time?
He was absolutely the big hire. Yeah. He was here 3.5 years. That was it. And he did okay, but then
couldn't survive 4-12.
No, he won 5 games, and then the next year it was 4, and this was his last year, and he was 3-8 when he was let go.
Well, let's also remember.
So he won 5 and then 3-8, and they let him, and he was out.
Let's also remember, too, that there's part of that is on the Butch side of the equation,
yes,
which
it
was
is.
He was having a bit of a meltdown, didn't seem to be very happy here, maybe wanted to move on to other pastures. So that has to be factored in. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
But it was, and he was here, he was here longer than 2. But again, it was that second year where it wasn't going well that, for whatever reason, did him in. So you bring in Romeo Crennel. Romeo did a nice job here. They won 10 games in his third year. Romeo was here 4 years.
After 6 wins and 4 wins.
And he won 10. The next year he wins 4 and he's out. There was no patience. Now, it wasn't the Haslam ownership, but he won 4 games after winning 10 and was done. You bring in Eric Mangini. 5 wins, 2 years in a row, he's out. There was no patience for Eric to try and grow things. You bring in and change in management.
Oh, by the way, may not have survived that first year if not for that 4-game winning streak to end the season, right?
To end the season. Yeah. And Mike Holmgren saying, he finished strong and I thought it was fair to Eric to bring in. Remember all that?
I've got so many things going through my head right now.
I know.
Yeah.
It was weird, but Eric was here 2 years, 5 wins each season. He's out.
Right.
Pat Shurmur comes in. 4 wins, 5 wins. He's out. Ownership change, however, during Shurmur's tenure is when that happened. And, you know, this is where I started, you know, doing the math with Kevin. It's like, wait a minute, 3 wins. And you, if you win 2 of these final 5 games, you go 2-3. That's only 5 wins. Well, Shurmur was out for 4-5. You bring in Chud, poor Rob Chudzinski. I'll forever think that. 1 year, 4 wins done. He's out. You bring in Mike Pettine. You win 7 games. Pretty good, right? You're on your way, maybe. You win 3, you're out. So you see what we're talking about here, folks. Then you bring in Hugh. You showed some patience with Hugh.
He survives 1-15, only to go 0-16.
And then had it going for you. He ends up going 2-5-1. And they canned him. You bring in Greg Williams, and Greg goes 5-3. Greg's got it going. You get rid of him. Oh, my. I remember to this day, I said, what if Greg Williams wins like 5 games when he got the job?
And he did.
And he did.
Yeah.
And you got rid of him.
And then they hired Freddie Kitchens.
And Freddie goes 1 year, wins 6. Mm. And he's out after 1 year. Freddie wins 6. And then you bring in Kevin, who, if he wins 6 this year, won't we all be surprised? Because that means you're going to go 3-2 in the final 5 games.
I'll say this. They should have 5 wins already.
Well, they should, but they don't.
I know.
So where's the patience level? Does ownership have more patience than the fan base? Because, folks, you've been telling me for some time you don't think he should be the coach anymore. What do you think? 216-474-0092. Tom Withers in for Andy Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Mary Kay Cabot joining us at 11. Doug LaMaurice at 1 o'clock from Kings of the North. Our buddy John Telich at 11:40. It's Baskin and Phelps with Withers right here on The Fan. Tom Withers is in for Andy Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer Cleveland.com coming up at 11 o'clock and at 10:40. Some support for Shedeur Sanders from a source you might not believe, but that's coming up in a little bit. Tom and I are talking about the coaching situation right now. And you know, I've caught grief from a lot of folks here who call up and send me nasty emails because I think Kevin Stefanski can coach. And
how dare you?
Even though I think that, Tom, I understand what the situation is in the NFL. The good coaches get canned all the time.
They do.
You know, I mean, like Andy Reid left Philadelphia.
They get hired to be fired.
Yeah, well, they do. And that's part of the gig. You're in the locker room. What do you hear about Kevin from the guys who actually wear the helmets and play?
I know he still has the respect and the ear of at least the guys that I talk to. I don't have a lot of strong relationships with a majority of this roster, unlike in previous years, because I haven't been around as much.
Right.
And also, it's a new group, right? There's a lot of young guys, you know?
There was a graphic on Monday Night Football last night where the Patriots with Mike Vrabel just looked phenomenal against the Giants. They've won 10 straight games.
Yeah.
But they were talking about the young Patriot team and said, and they showed a graphic, most snaps played by rookies in the NFL this year. Number one team was the Browns.
Doesn't surprise me at all. I mean,
because though we know they've been playing young guys, it hadn't dawned on me. They're playing more young guys more often than any other team in the NFL.
Right. So I think the young guys, because they are young guys, are going to pay attention to what the coach says, right? And try to do right by him. The veteran guys are a different story. The veteran guys that have been around for a while can tune guys out. They've kind of seen it, right? They've been through, you know, various camps, various systems, philosophies, what have you. The guys that I have talked to said that, you know, Kevin still has everybody's attention. I think if you want to look at Sunday and the situation with Jennings, right, and the Browns players kind of standing up for each other, that's a good sign of a team that at least is still willing to fight, right?
Yeah. I don't think this team has quit.
No, I don't think so.
In any game, any time. They play hard. And you can say that's for the coach, for themselves, for the city, whatever it is. I don't think this team has quit at all.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I alluded to that. It's not what I was going for. But I agree with you, Jeff, wholeheartedly. So I think that he has the respect of the locker room still. I don't think anybody's tuned him out yet. I think there is, unfortunately, some narratives that have built up outside of Cleveland about Kevin's relationship with Shedeur Sanders, which I think has been unfair. I think there has been some shots taken at him that have been unfair. From what the vibes that I get and the conversations that I've had with guys in the locker room is that this is still a united team that feels strong about what this year is about. Again, we can talk about that more, Jeff. You know, what were the expectation? You know, was this just a developmental year? Was this kind of a red shirt year for the Browns, if you will? In some ways, was it supposed to be? I kind of see it that way. Yeah. I really do. I wonder, you know, and listen, and we talked about this, and I know Andy and I and Dan talked about this at one point. You know, unfortunately, I think for Browns fans, and obviously there's been a lot of down moments over the last 20 years, and I get it, and I appreciate the passion and how Browns fans continue to come back week in and week out, right? It seems like everybody is fine with understanding where things are at until the ball gets kicked off on a Sunday afternoon, and then everybody kind of loses their mind, right?
When it doesn't go well, people act like it's a normal football game and your team is expected to win, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It is. And I find people it's interesting, by the time we get to like Wednesday or Thursday, everybody's kind of finally calmed down from criticizing the 4th-and-1 call on Sunday.
And then here we come again.
And then they're looking forward and they're just waiting for the next disaster to happen, right? So, yeah, it's just, you know, unfortunately things have kind of, you know, in this season, and Jeff, and I love the way you pointed out the way, you know, coaches have not survived this kind of a 6-25 situation or what have you. Now, there are a lot of variables at play, though, that make it a positive for Kevin Stefanski. The fact that he's had 2 11 win seasons, the fact that he's gotten this team to the playoffs twice. I think the argument,
which by the way, the 11 wins, most wins since the team's return.
I think
the
argument
NFL.
Can be made. I think it's a no brainer argument that he's been the best coach they've had since their return as an expansion franchise. I don't think it's close. I mean, I
agree with you, but we both know that might not mean anything.
No, it may not.
Yeah.
But we also have an ownership group that has, that showed impatience for too long and then maybe was too patient at times in other situations, right? And then has made a catastrophic mistake with the signing of a quarterback that continues to, like I said, a cloud that continues to hang over this franchise. So there are other variables there that I think are positives on the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Keep Kevin Stefanski agenda, if that's the right word.
Folks, would you want him back next year? Just flat out ask if anybody wants to chime in. 216-474-0092. There are 5 games to go, Tom. You have Tennessee this week.
Okay.
You don't win a Tennessee home game That's going to be a bad look.
Yeah. Now, weather comes into play. You know, there are other factors here that we have, but you're right. You need the home win here. You need, you know, Shedeur to have a solid game, you know, play well enough that he shows some more continued progress, run the ball, let Judkins do his thing. By the way, has that kid been unbelievable?
It's fun.
Oh.
I love his running style.
Oh, my goodness. Right, Jeff? It's like every carry, and he's fighting for every millimeter that he gets, which is great to see. He's been great. And I tell you what, and I had heard this a few weeks ago when I've been covering the Browns on a semi-weekly basis here. Actually, I've been out there at least once a week working for Scott Petrak on Fridays for the Illyria Chronicle, the zone coverage that they do. And I had heard whispers a couple weeks ago about Dylan Sampson and how he had been coming on in practice. And then sure enough, he has a breakout game a week ago in Las Vegas.
Looked great.
And you see
the way he busted through on that little screen pass.
Wonderful.
It was like, well, look at that.
Look at that guy.
Haven't seen that in a while.
There's the guy we saw at Tennessee, right? Yeah.
Tom, we haven't seen that in a while.
No, so.
You know, even when you had Nick and Kareem, you didn't see a guy split the seam like that and nobody's going to catch him.
Haven't had that guy in a minute here, have they?
No.
Right? Not that kind of player, right? So he's been encouraging as well. So I'm sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought here. But just in general, I think there's been, you know, some development by these young guys. You got to get a win over Tennessee. The schedule going forward looks favorable. I mean, Buffalo at home is going to be a handful,
That's a challenge.
So there's going to be some twists and turns. But I do think these last five games do matter because, as I said to you at the top of the show here, I'm not to the point where that I feel changes is necessary, and nor inevitable.
Okay. Let me ask you this one, though. And I wonder, we've all been impressed with this draft class.
A plus.
It's arguably the first draft class we've been impressed with.
Since 1967, right?
Well, yeah, I know. Well, since, certainly for Andrew Berry, it's without question. It's the first one that you look at and say, yep, nailed it.
Yep.
You know, nailed it. You nailed it, but you did draft two defensive players on a team that's so lacking for offensive talent, it's ridiculous. But
you did take two quarterbacks.
You did take two quarterbacks.
You did get an offensive lineman. There are some flaws to it.
You found a really good big-time running back. You found another running back who looks like he could be a perfect complement. So I like it. If by chance this goes south, even further south in the final five games, do you think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are a package deal? Or did one draft put Andrew Berry in a different light? I wonder Tom.
That's a tricky question. There's a lot,
I went through his first five drafts.
Yeah.
And of the offensive players that he drafted, and at the time Cedric Tillman was out, of the offensive players drafted, none of them were playing for the Browns.
Wow.
In the first five drafts.
Wow.
And at that time, Cedric was out, and there was somebody else, too, and it was DeJuan. It was DeJuan Jones who was out. They weren't here. They weren't playing. Well, how do you miss five drafts taking offensive guys? That's terrible. But then when you turn around this year.
Send him to Columbus.
Well, yeah. You turn around this year, and you nail a draft.
Yeah.
And I just wonder. Does that, if in fact, let's work under the assumption that Kevin and Andrew were a package deal, does that separate them?
Hmm. That's a great question. I
don't know the answer to that.
I don't either. They're aligned in so many ways, Jeff. And by the way, I think I hear a little pain in your voice when you say Cedric Tillman.
I really like Cedric.
I know you do. I've been high in him as well, and I'm just waiting for it to happen, and it hasn't for whatever reason, right? Happened.
Not since Joe Flacco was.
No, I know.
The ball.
And there's weeks where I feel like, you know.
Is it him? Are they trying to throw it to him? I don't know the answer to that.
Yes, and yes, right? I mean, there's so many variables on this play. That's why, you know, when we talk about this offense being such a mess. And actually, I heard John Greco this morning on the morning show to talk about, you know, you can never just say that it's one thing, right? There's always a breakdown in blocking, a receiver's not running the right route, the quarterback misses him by a hair, whatever, and that just leads to the situation we're in. So, but in terms of the Berry and Stefanski package, I do think they do separate themselves in different ways. I don't think necessarily ownership views them as a package.
You don't?
No, I don't. I think they're separate entities, because I think it's, you know, the roster is the roster, and the production on the field is the, or lack thereof,
yeah,
is what's going on the field. And that's on the coaching staff, and the roster is on the GM and the personnel group.
It's funny to me because, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, I don't like the overall roster. But, boy, you nailed it this time around.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I think you'd be very hard-pressed to make a move with Andrew Berry based on the success of one draft. Honestly, I think this draft has been so solid that I don't know how you would walk away from him at this point.
Great point, Jeff. Because of what this draft has built in terms of where you go forward with it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's,
because now you have a couple of pieces.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
You do. The Browns have received some support from a very unlikely source. If you're a Browns fan, you'll think, really? We've been talking about Kevin Stefanski and his future and Andrew Berry's future and where this team sits right now, and if it's sitting where it was supposed to be based on a big plan, you go into the basically two rookie quarterbacks this season, because you got rid of Joe Flacco quickly. And though I think Joe's best football is behind him, I don't think there's any question about that. Joe can still sling it. Probably gave you a better chance to win games than two rookie quarterbacks, and you moved on from him. You benched him, and then you traded him. Makes you wonder about the future of things. We've got that's not the right word. We have a source for Brown's positivity that you're not going to believe in a minute. But we have a couple of folks who want to chime in. James is in Mentor. Hello, James. How's the snow out there, James?
Oh, all is well, man.
Good.
Hey, I'm thinking that Kevin Stefanski and the GM need to go. I mean, we put up with this stuff now for at least 3 years. You keep blaming the decision for Deshaun on why the team hasn't propelled. The coach isn't coaching, and you see that every week. You hear it in his interviews every time you interview him. And, you know, we still have to take this stuff. He needs to go. The GM needs to go. We're going to get a new stadium. Let's get a team that can win.
James, what you lay out is possible. You know, I think you can make an argument to keep both of these guys. And Andrew Berry's argument is what you did in this last draft, Tom.
Yeah.
But it's the NFL. We know how this works.
Yeah. You know, he brings up the energy, and I know we get these little snapshots of Kevin on the sideline, right, during games, right? And then I hear this from people all the time, like, how come he never shows any emotion? He shows plenty of emotion. You get this one little moment in time that the TV cameras pan on him after a play or whatever to try to get a reaction. It's just so unfair to, we don't have a camera on him continuously, right? So we can see everything that he does. In terms of the news conferences, I know people always scream about, oh, there's got to be some accountability. How come he's not ripping so-and-so when Thomas jumped off sides in the Jets game? You know, how come he didn't, you know, tear him apart in the post-game news conference? You know, publicly, no, coaches don't do that. And if you're going to do that, you're going to lose your locker room in a millisecond. So, and it's about trust. And it's about developing trust with your players.
Most people don't get that, Tom.
No, I know. I understand that. I get that.
For instance, when he didn't name Shadur the starter after his first start and said, well, we'll deal with that. Well, perhaps he should tell Dylan Gabriel before he tells all the rest of us.
Right, right. Or the silly game ball debate last week.
Oh, that one was ridiculous.
You know, I mean, was he supposed to hand out orange slices in the locker room as well after the game? I mean, it was just comical. So, listen, you know, as James pointed out, there is a loud, I would still say, minority out there that is screaming for heads at this point, and I still say,
you think it's a minority?
I do. I think I've talked to enough people, Jeff, you know, rational kind of sense.
Well, but see, you're talking with rational people, Tom.
That's my problem. I got to go looking for the others.
That's a bad thing.
I still, minority might be, it might be 48-52 at this point.
I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, I think you're probably
the
right.
The bad thing is, here's the thing. I think Kevin can coach.
Yeah.
If the Browns move on from him here, he'll get another head coaching job. Yeah. If not in this round, in the next one. Like Dan Orlovsky said a couple weeks ago when Brian Daboll got let go in New York, and he's sitting there on ESPN and somebody said, "Well, who are you thinking?" He said, "I'll tell you what, I'd be paying attention to what's going on in Cleveland because I'd hire Kevin Stefanski in a heartbeat if I'm the Giants." And I thought, wow, well, that's a pretty good endorsement right there.
And like we've kind of laid out here, Jeff, I appreciate and respect the other argument, right? I can understand where people are coming from. I know it's been 6 years, and I know people are tired of the constant losing and the appearance of some dysfunction on the field, all that.
And they should be.
Yeah.
And they should be. Jeremy is our new dome correspondent or indoor stadium correspondent in Brook Park. Hello, Jeremy.
Good morning. It's still a pile of rubble over here, though.
Okay.
Not much progress, unfortunately.
Good update, though, Jeremy. Thank you.
But before they start actually building it, I have a better suggestion.
Okay, here we go.
I mean this half jokingly, so don't get all up in arms about it. But I thought maybe they should move the team out of the city a second time because it worked wonders the first time, didn't it? We won two Super Bowls.
Okay. Can't have nice thing.
So no more. Think about no more snow games.
I'm thinking St. Louis because didn't they once have a team called the Browns in St. Louis?
It was wrong sport, though.
Baseball team.
Wrong sport. Oh, okay. Well, but still, I mean, there was a team in St. Louis with that name, so, you know, they're used to it.
Got to be some sign still in town that says St. Louis Browns. Is that what you're saying, Jeremy?
Yeah, probably, I'm sure.
You're killing me, man.
That's all I had, guys. I don't have anything else to say. I just wanted to,
You wanted to be a wise guy. We get it. We appreciate it. Thank you for the update on the pile of rubble.
Start digging.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Jeremy needs to get a shovel and get out there. Get after that. You ready for the unsuspecting source of optimism for the Browns?
Oh, boy.
This cracked me up. I saw it and I thought, oh, this is great. And I'll read it to you first. Okay, ready? Listen, folks. I'm a Steeler through and through. I love my Steelers, and I loved beating Cleveland when I played there. But I'm pulling for Shedeur Sanders.
You mean Joe Green?
They've been through four number one quarterbacks drafted, not to mention Watson, who they brought over. None of them have worked. None of them have so far. So I'm saying to Cleveland, I hope this is your answer. So it's over with, and you got your quarterback.
Len Swan?
Ladies and gentlemen, those were the words of another guy everybody wants fired. Terry Bradshaw.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo. You'll get there one day.
Terry Bradshaw wants the Browns to have a quarterback.
Another number 12.
There it is.
Yeah, there's the connection.
That must be it.
Yeah. Listen,
it's good for football for a franchise like the Browns to have it together.
There's no question.
And Terry knows that.
Yeah.
It's good for that rivalry.
I think we're all rooting for Shedeur Sanders, right? From the standpoint of hoping that
he's the guy up there right now. Yep. Go for it.
Let's get it, please. End our misery.
If you happen to trip and hurt your ankle against Tennessee and Dylan Gabriel goes in, Dylan, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Relieve our pain. Win
some
games.
As your fiance says, everybody wants you to have the gig anyway. Oh, wait a minute.
Did that happen?
Shouldn't have gone there. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We talked about that yesterday.
Sorry.
Jeff had to sign up for TikTok. It wasn't good. He's been dancing on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think Terry is speaking like a Brown fan here, right? I mean, he wants, and I think he's right. It's good for the league to have a player of that has that kind of magnetism, if you will. It would be wonderful. I'm all for it.
Tom, how often?
It's one of the few times I've ever agreed with Terry Bradshaw, by the way.
How often is a guy who at one point was a fourth string quarterback and a fifth round pick one of the most popular guys in the NFL?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole other aspect of this can't be ignored.
One of the most popular guys in professional sports.
Without question.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, that's why I was resistant to the Browns making this move just because of everything that was going to come along with him. Now, that's fine. And I think it's also, you know, part and parcel as to why maybe Kevin Stefanski is not handing out game balls after the game. You got to kind of manage this to a degree, right? I mean, the spark and the excitement and the fact that that people want to see this kid play is all positive for
Nothing
the Browns.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right? But it comes down to, you know, can he run an offense? Can he, you know, make the right play?
Yeah.
Can he throw the ball away instead of taking a sack and taking them out of field goal range? Can he get rid of the ball in the end zone before a safety comes into play? Those are the little things. Those are the development things we need to see over these next 5 weeks. But all in all, I think these first two starts have been...
They've been just fine.
They've been enough that I want to see another one.
Absolutely.
Right?
I agree. Terry had more.
Go ahead.
This guy, and then he did this, it wasn't talking about the Niner game. I think he was talking about the Raider game. This guy last week did things that were impressive. He had the it factor, making deep throws, moving out. He had that long one down the sideline while he was sprinting out to the one-yard line. That was the pass to Isaiah Bond. Handled the blitz well, handled it all well. Let's see.
And he wasn't throwing the ball to Lynn Swann or John Stallworth either, right?
Exactly.
I mean, he didn't exactly have the weapons that Terry Bradshaw had.
Two rookies coming in, by the way, together back in the day in Pittsburgh. Let that thing grow together. Look what happened.
We've seen this before. Is that what you're telling me, Jeff?
See how we tie it all together
there
right there?
There you go.
Brian's in Stowe. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Very well, Brian.
I just want to talk about something really quick, and I just think it's a hypothetical more than anything, but I don't think our problems are really 100% with Stefanski and Barry. I lived outside of here. I think we have a problem of we as fans can't do anything to get rid of and actually are rewarding him, and that's ownership. I think we just have terrible owner who's made some terrible decisions. What if Barry didn't even make the Watson trade? What if Haslam came down and pushed his buttons and made that move? And we can't do anything about a bad owner. And look at Kraft. Look what he did. He went down to nothing, came back just because he's a good owner. And we just have a bad owner. And I don't think we'll be able to do anything to get rid of that. So we could talk about it all day long. Thank you.
All right, Brian. You're right. Fan bases can't get rid of ownership.
How do you really feel, Brian? he makes some good points. Now, in fairness to the Haslams, and I know that's probably going to hit some people.
No, nobody wants to hear that,
yeah,
Tom.
As I mentioned to you before, I mean, there was some impatience that really led to a lot of the problems, and there was some patience that it's also led to some problems. So
yeah. And you wonder where that is right now.
Yeah.
You know, do you continue to be patient with this crew and let them see it through?
Given what I've seen out of this rookie class, I roll it out again.
Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com is coming up next. We'll ask her that very thing. It's Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers, editor emeritus of the Associated Press.
I'll take it.
He's with us in for Andy today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.